defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. How the heck are you? Welcome inside the studios with me today. I'm going to go right to the phone because my next guest is not only a dear friend of mine and a patriot and a member of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, he's also a doctor. And he has a lot of information for us today on the coronavirus pandemic that's going on around the country and a perspective that you might not get everywhere else because he's not a TV doctor. He's a real doctor who sees real patients all day and doesn't look in front of a camera all day. And the whole world doesn't think that he's a god because I know he is because he's fixed my own nephew, Dr. John Adine. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yep,
you are a god.
Surgery this morning. I just fixed broken kids. That's all I did.
Didn't you have four surgeries today or something crazy like that?
I did one last night. I had a kid with an open forearm fracture, fell off a skateboard, and then I did three more this morning. So, yeah, kids still are hurting themselves. You can't slow kids down, especially if the weather's nice like it is right now here in San Antonio. So they keep me busy.
John, let me ask you a question, and thank you for what you're doing. Thank you what you did for my nephew. Did I say niece? It's nephew.
No, you said nephew.
I said nephew? Okay. All right. Thank you for what you did for Croy, my nephew. Wonderful stuff. All right. Now, question for you. Okay, news. The news is, my gosh, if you watch the news, quote-unquote the news, because it's not news anymore. You get what I'm saying. But if you're watching any of the 24-hour programs that are talking about this all day long, you'd think the zombie apocalypse is on us, man. You'd think The Walking Dead was getting ready to happen. I'll tell you a story about being at Costco here in just a couple of moments. This is a virus that is a problem because we don't have any vaccinations for it yet. America will step up to the plate. Am I right about that? America will step up like we do, right?
Right. There actually are vaccines that are in existence that are undergoing testing right now.
There we go.
In
rapid
Seattle.
Fire. Okay. And that's rapid fire for something like this. Life will get back to normal. I can promise you. I can promise you, America, that one day in the very near future, you're going to look back and go, what just happened? What the heck was that? We will get there. That will happen. But, John, there are some areas of the country that are having a really difficult time because, quite frankly, they're stacked on top of each other like cordwood. I'm talking, of course, about New York City. We're seeing, they've got the epicenter. I'll use their buzzword. Apparently, that is the epicenter, but a lot of the rest of the country is not, John. You have a formula for getting people back to work, and it's common sense, and you're a doctor. What is it? Tell us, please.
So anyway, when this whole thing started, there were some significant problems with the testing. The CDC and basically, the powers that be in government decided they were going to take over development of the tests, and they had some issues. First of all, Chinese didn't hand over any virus samples, so we didn't have anything to work off of. We had to wait for people to get sick to get the samples. And then the first sets of testing kits were faulty. And they were sparingly used. And I don't know if you knew about this or not, listeners, but they take a swab and stick it in your nose all the way to the back of your throat in order to get the specimen. And then they had to send it off. And it took several days to get back, and people didn't know whether they were positive or negative. And even the ones that were positive might have been negative, and the ones that were negative might have been positive because they had problems. And so it took a while to get the testing down. And now, as of a few days ago, Abbott Laboratories has a rapid test that's been approved. And so that is going to be made available. I think in San Antonio, we're getting it on Friday. And so we'll be able to do a 5-minute test for a positive result and 13-minute test for negative. So it takes them, 13 minutes to make sure that it's a negative result. And so really what the strategy is that we need to do is we need to start doing testing. And we need to test a lot of people. We need to know whether you're positive or negative. If you're positive for the virus, then we do the shelter-in-place quarantine thing like we've been doing. If you're negative, however, maybe we start getting you back to work. And then maybe repeat testing periodically for those people who are negative. And then also we want to protect those who are, you know, highly vulnerable, you know, the elderly with multiple medical problems, stuff. Those people still need to be kind of quarantined and sequestered to some degree.
Now, you mentioned that there's a part of the test that can tell whether or not you've had exposure to it already and your body has developed antibodies, correct?
Right.
Which
right.
would be
now
an immunity.
That's not available yet. So what we're looking for, when you're exposed to a virus, you make something called IgM, which is the acute antibody that attacks an acute infection. And that's something that we can test for other things. And then you make an IgG, which is the long-term immunity. That's kind of the thing when you get your vaccinations, you end up making IgM initially, and then you make IgG. So what we need to do is have IgM and IgG tests for the coronavirus so we know whether people are immune or not. If you have IgM and you have a negative virus, culture, in your system or virus tests, then you're immune. And you can freely move around and don't have to worry about breathing on people and wearing a mask and all that kind of stuff. That's how we need to get people back to work. We need to make sure people are, A, negative for the virus, and hopefully sooner or later we'll start getting these, IgM and IgG tests being able to be done. We're probably not going to see very many IgGs because this thing's only been in the United States for a few months. So we're probably not going to have very many IgGs, but we'll have people with IgM.
Now tell us why, because, John, the flu. I'm going to go over this again. The flu in 2018, according to the CDC, killed 61,000 Americans.
Right.
In a six-month period, that comes out to 304 people dying of the flu a day. The flu spreads like crazy in the wintertime. Does it spread through New York City like this one is?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, it's because it's a virus. It does the same thing. It lives on surfaces for 2 days. The difference between that and this is what?
I think that people who have this virus often are asymptomatic. About half of them who are positive for the coronavirus are completely asymptomatic. They're spreading the virus around. So it's, you know, when you pick up the flu, you have a fairly short incubation period, and then you're sick. And you know you're sick. And so people tend to stay indoors and not, you know, or, you know, in the old days, we used to just suck it up and go to work even though you're sick, right? I mean, that's been the behavior for a lot of people for years and years and years. That's going to change now.
Oh, that's finished. Well, listen, I know for a fact, and I've had as an employer for a number of years, when I had someone walk in I made it very clear to my employees, if you're sick, you stay the hell home. I don't want you in this building. I don't care what you have. You're not going to get in trouble. Your job is not in jeopardy. I'll pay you, but you're get out. And that should be common sense norm anyway. And I know a lot of employers who, when someone comes into the building sick, go nuts. Get out of the building. We don't want you here infecting everybody, because that's how viruses spread and whatever it is. Now, having said that, that to me is common sense. But I think you're going to see this go a little bit beyond common sense now. Because I don't think there's going to be a lot of, I think you're going to start seeing shaming. I think this is going to do some damage in large part because of the coverage that we're seeing, John, which is way over the top. That's all. We don't have enough time in this segment to go over that. But there's damage being done to the nation over this. And that might take years for us to get past, relative to people being afraid of other people or somebody sneezing in a room or somebody coughing somewhere or whatever the case may be, or somebody coughs just and doesn't put their face in there. I mean, I see all this coming. I see people staying away from other people as a result of all this. Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy at all. It's kind of normal fear in human beings. It's normal human behavior, you know? And that's why we carry guns, just in case people get out of control.
It's true.
You can defend yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, you really, truly can. John, we've got about a minute left in this segment, so I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up with this before we come back to you. Lots to cover with you. I want to cover some headlines with you and get your opinion on a number of issues. But, obviously, we were talking before the show, and we are friends. We talk outside the program as well. We're talking about New York City, and, you know, as I mentioned, you know, they're stacked on top of each other like cordwood in New York. You know, you get on a subway, that thing's packed shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it's just an incubator for this stuff. So we see it in cities like that. And, of course, John Listener was mentioning Los Angeles and Chicago as well. And, you know, as this disease is having an impact on some of those areas far greater than it is others. And if you can help out in those areas, if you can get something that you have that you can loan, then do by all you know, stretches. If you can, please do that. If you can get there and if you're in healthcare and you can get there and volunteer your time, it would be much appreciated, I'm sure. John, when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk with you a little bit about some of the headlines that have been going on over this past week relative to the right to bear arms and the attacks we're under. I want to get your opinion on liberty. I'm talking with Dr. John Adeen, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. We'll be back right after this.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. So great to have you here with us today. It is Wednesday. It's garbage day. We'll get to some garbage. I'm talking with Dr. John Nadine. John, it's garbage day at my house in the ATL. I always like to try to find some type of garbage story, and I'm sure I'll be able to do that in just a few minutes. We'll do it with you live. John, as I was closing out that previous segment, I only had about a minute. It's hard to go to you because I'm going to have to cut you off. But we were talking about New York. I said stacked up like cordwood up in cities like that. You know, the subway systems and everything else are just, it's incubators for this stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I went to college and medical school in New York, and I've spent many an hour on the subways. In college, I used to take the subway back and forth from crew practice all the way to the northern tip of Manhattan. And, we were stacked in and, you know, piled on top of each other. So it doesn't surprise me that New York has got a significant issue just because of the way people get around. And, you know, it's 8 million people, you know, stacked on top of each other. It's not a surprise at all. And then when, you know, people start getting sick, it's pretty easy to start going through all the supplies that they have because nobody's prepared for this kind of stuff. You know, especially to that degree. There are, you know, lots of hospitals in New York and in the metropolitan area, but there's more than enough population to match. And so they're getting hit pretty hard. And the poor people that are working there are busting their butts. And you know that some people are going to end up catching this thing and it's going to end up killing them. You know, so people are literally putting their lives on the line to take care of the sick people.
And, John, it's moving so fast up there now because we don't have a vaccine for it at this point, like the flu, correct? Why is it so different? Why is it overwhelming when over 60,000 Americans do die from the flu and it doesn't seem to be so overwhelming? Why is this so overwhelming?
Well, because it's so easily transmitted, and it's transmitted by asymptomatic carriers. Half the people who are positive for the virus are completely asymptomatic. And so, you know, unless we do the social distancing and the, you know, self-quarantining and all this kind of stuff, you know, it's going to be easy for the virus to be spread around. And plus, before we even knew about it, you know, people were passing the virus around. Now, I think Mardi Gras down in New Orleans is getting hit hard right now because Mardi Gras was right during when this thing was starting to happen. And so people were, you know, in the streets, close contact, all that kind of stuff. And now New Orleans is getting hit. So, you know, it's just a matter of in that case, a little bit of bad luck and bad timing. But, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of tough to predict this whole thing. And it's a new virus. That's the other thing. We do have a vaccine. It's just under the first stage of testing in Washington State. I think they're testing 50 healthy volunteers to make sure it doesn't make them sick. And so we're probably not going to have a vaccine for a while. The good news is that the coronavirus family is actually very slow to mutate. And so it's not like the influenza where you have, you know, several different strains going all at once and they change every year. This is going to be relatively stable. And so that I think there was a strain of coronavirus from the 1960s that only changed two, nucleotides for over like a 20-year period, which is very minimal, you know, mutation. So that's the good news for us, and that at least this thing is not going to be like influenza, where it, you know, the probably is going to be pretty stable. Now, the bad news is that this stuff, it's good and bad. Ultraviolet radiation will kill it. Raise in temperature will kill it. So if you raise the temperature 10 degrees, about 90% of the virus is killed off. And so as the summer progresses, I think a lot of the virus on surfaces are probably going to die off. The bad news is that this stuff is in the southern hemisphere too, right? So right now it's you know, it's going to start getting colder there. And so people are going to start getting more and more sick in the southern hemisphere. And those people are going to eventually travel up to the northern hemisphere because this is a global economy now. People are traveling. And so, you know, we may see a seasonal variation with this disease, you know, from year to year. The good news is the next time it happens in the United States, we probably will have a vaccine. We'll have, you know, good treatments. And as far as treatments go, there are several treatments that are available right now. There's an old malaria drug called chloroquine and a variant of that called hydroxychloroquine, which has some effect on it. When you combine that with azithromycin or the Z-Pak, right. You know, there was a study in France that showed after 5 days, there was no longer any virus in any of the subjects. And so that study had some problems, but it's at least encouraging. And in New York City, they're actually testing that combination. So we're going to get good data out of that study to see if that's effective. There's also an antiviral drug that was developed for,
an antiviral drug.
Right, yeah.
So that was developed for this already?
No, it was developed for Ebola.
Okay.
And it has some effect as well. So there are some, let's see, where is that drug name? Oh, yes, remdesivir is the name of that drug. Okay. And it was developed against Ebola, and it had some effect against the MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and the SARS-1, the first SARS. And so there's some hope for some things. There's also one of the guys that I went to college with, which is kind of interesting, he is MD, PhD, and he has a company where they're actually developing antibodies in mice that make human antibodies against the spike protein, which is the part that attaches onto the human cell and injects the virus into the cell. And so they're starting to develop those. It's you know, very, very interesting how that works.
You guys are smarter than me, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. I mean, he's smarter than me.
You're a smart guy, bro. Let me put it that way, because what you're talking about is over a lot of people's heads. And here's what I'll say. God bless you for doing what you do and being as smart as you, and for you to tell somebody that somebody is that much smarter than you you fix broken things in bodies for a living is really quite astonishing. John, let me ask you this question. Is everybody on planet Earth going to get this and die? And I ask that sincerely. There are people that are very concerned about that.
Absolutely not. We know that there are going to be people, you know, this is going to run through the population. And people are going to get it. We know that half of them are not even going to get sick from it, even though they're exposed to it, and they will be immune to it. And then there'll be another percentage of people who will get a viral illness type syndrome. You know, it'll feel like the flu.
Right.
You feel crappy for a few days, you'll cough, you'll have, you know, runny nose. And it's only going to be a relatively small percentage.
I have to stop you because we're getting ready to take a break, but a small percentage of people will pass away. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Don't go away. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone, continuing the conversation with Dr. John Adine. I hated to have to cut you off at that last break, but so, you know, the vast majority of people are going to be not even know they have it. another part of that, you know, another large majority of people are going to be very mild symptoms. And then there's going to be that segment of the population that just gets pounded and is in a high risk group, as we've seen, and die. Correct?
Right. Yeah. And it's hard to really get a handle on that number, because we can figure out how many people are symptomatic and what percentage of those people die. What we can't figure out is right now is the number of people who have the virus. And that's really the important number. Right now we're looking, they're talking about somewhere about 0.5% mortality rate. But I think that's really of the percentage of people who are symptomatic that we know about that have been tested that die. Well, we know that at least half of the people who have this thing are asymptomatic. And so it's probably more like 0.2% or 0.1%.
Probably far less.
Which is pretty much what the flu is.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it's probably no more deadly than the flu if you get the virus and you're susceptible to it. But the thing is, it's out there in a lot of people who don't even know they have it. And that's really our big issue. And that's why we have to do the testing. And then, so how do we get out of this thing? Because this is really the big issue that I think most of us are asking the question. How do we get out of this thing where we're all, you know, hiding in our homes and being afraid to go talk to people and get closer than 6 feet? And the thing that we need to do is start testing people.
Right.
And so we need to do a lot of testing. Those who are tested positive need to continue doing what we've been doing, which is to, you know, sequester themselves, to, you know, self-quarantine, whatever you want to call it, you know, wear the mask so that when you breathe out, the droplets that have the virus in it are captured in the mask and are not spread out on surfaces where the rest of us can get our hands on it and get it in our eyes or mouth or whatever, because that's how this thing spread around for the most part. There's also a fecal-oral contamination too. So if you are a person who prepares food for other people, you really need to wash your hands really well, because you may be passing along that way. And there have been some studies that have shown that the asymptomatic people are shedding virus in their stool for a long time, like weeks and weeks and weeks. And so that's another, you know, real issue with this thing. I know people don't like to talk about poop, but it's important to know that, you know, that's another way that this thing gets around. And the third way is aerosolization, which is mostly healthcare workers need to worry about that, because that's when we do bronchoscopies or where the anesthesiologist put a breathing tube in for anesthesia.
Right.
You know, the viruses are in teeny weeny little, you know, mist particles rather than actually droplets, much smaller. And those can be inhaled directly. And so you can get direct inhalation. And that's where the N95 masks and, you know, full face covers and all that kind of stuff is important.
All right, John.
So anyway,
the information that you're giving is huge, and I appreciate it. I'm glad people can turn to Armed American Radio and get a source from you about this, and we'll have you back on to talk about it, no doubt. It's important. But what I'm hearing from you is this is going to run its course. It's going to run its natural course, and we're going to get out of this, as the human race always does. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Right, yeah. Because basically, once we get the testing done and we get the people who are not sick identified, we can get them back to work. The people who are sick, you know, we can test them until they are, you know, we can treat them first of all,
right,
and then we can test them to make sure that, you know, they're no longer shedding virus, and then we can get them back to work. And then when we get our antibody tests done, then we'll know who's going to be susceptible and not susceptible.
And well, there are going
to
be areas hard hit through this. It's reality. It's happening. It's not going to change. As gun owners, as people who take our personal self-defense very seriously, we understand this more than other people do, John. It's hard for other people to understand. But because we tend to be very self-aware, we tend to practice preparation avoidance awareness techniques, as you know, John, and we have for years. We understand and know that when we leave the house, that there are bad things out there, that there is evil that exists. We understand that. And evil, how many times have we talked about it, John? Takes many forms. This is evil, okay? But evil takes many forms. And we know that evil strikes at a time and place of its choosing. We don't get to select it. We don't get to say, okay, Mr. Bad Guy, I'm ready for you to attack me now and try to take my wallet. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to say, okay, disease, come get us. Or we don't get to say these things, John. But as gun owners, as people who take our own personal protection seriously, don't we tend to be a little bit more aware of our surroundings than most people out there? Isn't that a true statement?
Yeah, I think we're not only aware, but we're also better prepared. I mean, most people who are, Second Amendment and gun carriers and people who take their personal safety seriously also have guns. They have ammunition. They have food stockpiles. You know, they have stuff that they're going to need. Toilet paper. Little did we know we would need toilet paper, right, for this thing.
Hey, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me give you, I told you in the first segment I had a funny Costco story. Let's do that. I went to Costco earlier today, John, and toilet paper I hadn't even thought about. You know, we have some. If you shop at Costco and you buy a couple, you got toilet paper for a while. But we also have bidets in the house, too, so it reduces your toilet paper usage. And by the way, those are selling out like crazy around the country now, from what I understand, because people can't get toilet paper. It's funny how all of this is happening. It's just the weirdest thing in the world to me. It's quite fascinating. But I went to Costco today just to get some bulk items that we needed, you know, just some basic stuff. And I noticed that there was toilet paper in there. I saw a couple people coming out, so I grabbed one. You're only allowed to have one. And, John, I saw people walking around head to toe. They looked like beekeepers. I kid you not. Wearing the protective gear with the mesh. I couldn't even see their faces through this stuff. John, does dressing like that keep you safe?
Probably not. Okay. So wearing a mask, we can talk about that. In the hospitals right now, all hospital employees are wearing masks. And we're not wearing masks to protect ourselves for the most part. We're wearing masks so that we don't spread droplets around in case we are in that 50% of the patients who are infected that don't know it. And so we're trying to reduce droplets in the environment so people don't pick them up with their hands and all that kind of
stuff. So you don't get people sick should you be asymptomatic right now?
Correct.
Okay.
So that's a good reason to wear a mask. If you want to wear a mask, that's great. You're probably doing your part to help reduce the spread if you're one of those asymptomatic carriers. Okay. Now, there are masks that we wear protective in the OR, the N95 masks. But people who got those at Home Depot, most of the time, they're not wearing them right. They have to be, you have to make sure they're fitted in pretty much airtight. And I can tell you, having had to wear one, it's hard to breathe in them. It requires more labor to breathe through one of those N95 masks.
Yeah.
So they're not real comfortable. So what people do is they crack the seal so that they can breathe easier. Well, you've just defeated the purpose of the mask to protect yourself. Plus, you have to protect your eyes and other things too. So the people wearing the beekeeper suits, unless it's, you know, solid, you're probably not going to protect yourself. Even though you're wearing a mask and all that kind of stuff.
Here's my advice to them. Keep the beekeeper suits at home. Go out only as necessary when you have to. Get as much crap out there as you can, okay, and just don't go out. You know, like I said, I've got an 81-year-old father and an 80-year-old mother, and they're having stuff delivered. People are dropping it off at their front door. They're happy in their house in Florida, and it's all good. They're out walking around their neighborhood, and, they're okay. So, it's interesting, John. We're getting ready to take another break, so let me lead into this. I've really appreciated the conversation that you're having that is not the same TV doctors. I wanted people to hear from you, someone that listeners on Armed American Radio have trusted for years. So when we come back from this break, John, we're going to switch gears and we're going to go to guns. I'll be back with Dr. John Adine right after this.
The 25th Anniversary K9 and the Venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 Carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convoy Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com. Today.
Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios, the Car Arms microphone. I promised we were going to go to guns. We're going to go to guns. First off, you hear my sponsors on the show. It's very important. Let me run through them quickly. Lead Slinger's Whiskey, Second Amendment Foundation, Crossbreed Holsters, Car Arms, My Pillow. GunBroker.com. Just sign up there for free. It's free. Just do it and peruse the if it's out there and you want it, they have it. It's there. Okay. North American Arms, Defender Coffee, and of course Emerson Knives. DefenderCoffee.com. You can support the Second Amendment rights organization of your choice. Derek and the crew over there are just doing amazing stuff, and the coffee is outstanding. It's all we drink at the house anymore. John, welcome back inside the studios. First of all, there's been some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff going on out there. John, I want your opinion on this. In general, has American life changed permanently because of the last 2 weeks?
I think in some respects it may, but I think a lot of it's going to come back to being normal. The real question is, how much economic damage is this going to do? How many companies are actually going to totally go out of business and people are going to completely lose their jobs and have to go find another way to make a living? Now, you know, sometimes that's a silver lining. Some people who lose their jobs and they find another way, they actually end up in a better place. They maybe start their own business and things like that. So entrepreneurs may be able to take advantage of this and find something else. You know, MyPillow guys, they're making masks.
Right.
You know,
Mike has converted 75% of his production. I was talking with, I talk with them every day. Every day I talk with the crew over there. They're wonderful people. And Mike has converted 75% of his production to making masks and the other 25% to keeping America sleeping on comfortable pillows and sheets and beds and all that stuff. Now, let's ask this. The Second Amendment, John, something obviously very passionate to both of us, a passion for both of us, no doubt. We love and respect our freedoms immensely. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, for gosh sakes. My personal belief is that the Second Amendment is going to come out of this in a far better position. I was talking with Gottlieb about it on the program on Sunday, and many, many times since then, the country is not screaming for gun control, John. The country is saying, hey, this bad crap happened. I wasn't prepared. I'm not going to let this happen again. I need food, guns, and ammo. We're seeing gun sales right now, John, in record territory that, I mean, record. Never seen anything like this, and every gun dealer will tell you that. The Second Amendment's going to come out of this thing a real winner, isn't it?
I think so. In fact, I think we're going to find that there's going to be, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands, maybe a million new gun owners that before maybe didn't think that, you know, having a gun was an important thing. But now reality, you know, bites, and they realize that they are you know, vulnerable. One of the ladies that works in the pre-op holding area today came up to me and says, my husband wants to buy a gun. I said, this is not a good time to do it.
Yeah.
I said, he needs to get training first and then buy the gun. I had one of my anesthesiologists that I got him trained. He had some training, but he never bought a gun. And he, about 2 weeks ago, came up to me and says, John, I know there's stuff going on. I says, can you lend me a gun? And I took care of him because I knew he had the training. Mm-hmm. I knew that he wasn't going to be a detriment. He was going to be an asset. And so that's where we're at. So there's a lot of people who are now realizing, oh my goodness, you know, the government is not going to be able to take care of me.
No.
You know, if society breaks down, the police aren't, they're not a phone call away.
See, people are figuring that out. And I said this yesterday, too. You know, you as a gun owner, sometimes, well, the crazy radical left, oh, you're paranoid. You're a gun owner. You're just paranoid. I was attacked on a radio station. I was a guest on a radio station in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. I was on the Earl Ingram show. Earl's a great guy.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I love Earl. I think he's a great guy.
That.
We're diametrically opposed to everything. But he's a super guy, and he's a great guy to talk to because he's intellectually honest. He will listen to you. And you're not going to change his mind, but he'll listen to you, and he'll respect the fact that you have a different opinion. And that's why Earl and I get along so well. We do great radio together. It's always fun. But I had a guy call in and, you know, berate me, calling me a paranoid lunatic because I'm a gun owner. And this is a guy who lives his life in denial. And I wasn't going to waste my time trying to get that through to that moron at that time because he didn't want to hear it. He just wanted to call me names and hear himself do that on the radio. And we finally hung up on him. And then Earl and I were able to have a conversation. But the fact of the matter is there are people out there who think like that, that if you're a gun owner, you're a paranoid wacko. And millions of Americans are all of a sudden seeing, hey, guess what? You're not a paranoid wacko. I'm paranoid now without one. Because, John, we've never come. You tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think we've come in my lifetime this close to massive civil, the possibility where you've got cities across the country very concerned about this now, if this drags out, to mass civil unrest, correct?
Yeah, I think the closest we've been to that is in the late 1960s when they have an L.A. riots and yeah. Newark riots and things like that.
I think you're talking about Watts and things of that, yeah.
Exactly. But those were localized in big cities. This could be everywhere because this virus is going to get wherever it is. You know, I was looking at the stats in Texas, and still half the counties in Texas don't have a single case of coronavirus that was symptomatic and has been reported. And so the rural places are probably going to be less affected than the cities. And I think we have 150-something cases in San Antonio. We have like 6 deaths. And for a city of over 1 million people, that's not bad.
Right.
And we can handle that. And as long as the curve stays low, we'll be able to probably get through this until we can put all these things that we talked about into place. And so that the next time this virus comes through, we'll have,
hey, John,
you know, immunizations and treatments.
Let me ask you this, just in the essence of time. How does a virus move around like this? Is it because a person goes to one of those counties and doesn't know it and touches something that someone else picks up and then they touch something? Is that how it moves? Or is this thing floating around out there? It almost seems that that's not even possible, that not everybody is going to be somewhere that is eventually going to, that it's eventually going to, because if that were the case, everybody on Earth would get it.
Right. Well, you know, the way this thing spreads is by droplets. Okay. We breathe out, you know, little small droplets of fluid that have the virus in it. The virus lands on a surface, and it can persist, depending on the surface, for anywhere from a few hours to even a day or so. And so all you have to do is come along after somebody's breathed out, the cloud of breath settles on surfaces, you touch the surface, put it in your mouth or face or eyes, the virus gets in and then goes into your lungs and some other tissues too. It actually can affect the heart, it affects the GI tract because the angiotensin converting enzyme receptor is in a lot of tissues. That's what those little spikes attach onto. And then
yeah, that's what
the
I thought. I
tissues.
Thought it was that. I wasn't sure, but I'm glad you clarified that, Dr. John.
as only
you can. Hey, listen, man, we've only got about a minute left. So let me say this. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you, you know, giving listeners the state, you know, the straight dope on Armed American Radio, and my advice has been, look, just turn your TV on just to get your weather and your morning dose of whatever, and then turn the crap off. You're just going to drive yourself batty insane. Keep doing what you're doing at home to keep your family safe. Only go out when you have to, okay? And try as best as you can to live your life through these very bizarre, goofy times. And John Adine, we're going to be talking to you again probably in the next few days. I'm interested in bringing you back in on the Monster Cast. We'll take a look at the schedule as it gets closer, but it's been crazy days around here. So we appreciate everything you do, and you do me a personal favor as a friend and stay safe in the hospital there, okay, while this stuff is roaming around. And
absolutely.
And you keep fixing those kids that come in that, you know, that's a business that's never going to stop, John. They're going to fall down whether they do it in their basement or whether they do it out in their driveway. It's going to happen. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. That was Dr. John Adine. Such a great guy. And he literally does God's work, and we appreciate it very, very much. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense going to get up and do it all over again tomorrow because freedom never takes a break here in these GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone. We'll see you tomorrow.